What is free speech? The meaning might seem obvious. The right to say whatever comes into your mind wherever you happen to be. Yet everybody knows you can't scream fire with impunity in a crowded movie theater or slander people just because they're jerks. So let's talk about protected speech. Speech covered by the First Amendment, which states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The plain meaning is that government cannot tell you what you can or cannot say. There are, of course, exceptions of the sort mentioned previously. You can't incite violence, threaten people, exhibit child pornography, or do other things deemed imminently dangerous or blatantly immoral. Otherwise, as far as the government is concerned, you are pretty much free to say, write, or publish whatever pops into your head. That has not always been true. Even though the First Amendment, along with the rest of the Bill of Rights, was ratified in 1791, it took Congress less than a decade to effectively discard it. The 1798 Alien and Sedition Acts made it a crime, punishable by deportation, fine, or imprisonment, to publish false, scandalous, or malicious writing against the Federalist government, or to oppose any measure or measures of the government. Publishers and politicians who dared to criticize Federalists' officials were jailed. Congressman Matthew Lyon, a Republican who represented both Vermont and Kentucky, was imprisoned for accusing President John Adams of ridiculous pomp, foolish adulation, and selfish avarice. Pamphleteer Thomas Cooper was incarcerated for pointing out that under Adams, the U.S. had taken on new costs, including being saddled with the expense of a permanent navy and a standing army. Thomas Jefferson's presidency brought an end to such foolishness, but it brought no respect for the First Amendment itself. That was more than a century away. Throughout the early part of the 19th century, to speak out against slavery in slave-owning states was to risk the loss of both your business and your life. As author Akil Reed Amar pointed out, across the South, mere criticism of slavery became a crime, and the Republican Party was in effect outlawed. The last thing slaveholders wanted to hear were abolitionists urging them to give up their hard-earned and hard-working property. As Professor Russell B. Nye observed, the moment that the South said, in effect, you cannot discuss slavery because slaves are my property and discussion might ultimately destroy the value of that property, it assumed an untenable and thoroughly dangerous position which very nearly became imposed upon the nation at large. In much of the South, abolitionist literature was simply destroyed on sight, and the abolitionists themselves did not fare much better. Although they admitted that freedom of speech was an inestimable privilege, noted historian Susan Wiley Jones, the residents of Sandersville, Georgia, considered it perfectly justifiable to suppress publications that encouraged the plunder of our property and the murder of our citizens. The citizens of St. Louis, Missouri, admitted that the First Amendment protected free speech, but called that protection merely a conventional reservation that in no way gave the abolitionists the moral right to criticize slavery. As a result, added Wiley Jones, countless communities ordered postmasters to destroy the offending publications and appointed vigilance committees to ferret out any that may have escaped into the community. These committees enjoyed virtually limitless powers as police, prosecution, and jury for those suspected of circulating anti-slavery pamphlets.